blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 370, stanzas 1 and 2. How good and pleasant is the sight when brethren make it their delight to dwell in blessed accord. Such love is like anointing oil that consecrates for holy toil and the servants of the Lord. 1 and 2 of 370. Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon service can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, there of the 14th chapter beginning with the 12th verse, Luke 14. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead, He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. Then said He also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven, who hast ascended into the heavens, being dead and yet alive again, and now dost sit in thy great glory, we can read in thy word that thy countenance does shine as the sun shines in its strength. We cannot look upon thee, O Lord, thou who dost sit upon thy throne of glory, and yet at the same time dost walk in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Thou hast also the 7 spirits, and thou hast the 7 stars in thy right hand. Thou dost control everything that takes place in thy church, and out of thy mouth does go a sharp two-edged sword. And Lord, thou knowest each and every heart amongst us. Oh, that sword has two edges. Ah, that thou may look upon each and every one of us. Therefore, we will belong unto either the right hand or to thy left when thou comest in thy kingdom. Thou hast the keys, O Lord, of hell and of death. Oh, and thou hast, on the other hand, such great things to be bestowed, so many riches, so many goods, and thou dost bid many, also us, that we might receive them, that we may receive them freely, without money and without price. But Lord, thou knowest our hearts. Ah, we have no desire for thee or for the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, the ground is bad. Oh, it needs to be made good. Oh, we beseech thee for the power of thy most Holy Spirit, that thou wouldst come with that sword, and that thou wouldst pierce our hearts, and that thou wouldst discern, and that thou may grant us life, as thou alone art able to give it from that source, that fountain of life. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, and that it may not be but the words of a man in this afternoon hour, and it is through the foolishness of preaching, when we do not know how to order our conversation, even before thee in the congregation. But, oh, thou art able to make use of a little instrument, to bring thy word with power, that our preaching may not be in the wisdom of men, but that it may manifest itself to be in the power of God, that thou mayest come with one simple word and break the heart that is so hard and that is stony, that is so cold. O Lord, thou art able to make it warm, and thou art able to make it melt. And thou art able to bring forth a flood of tears and a cry to the Lord in heaven. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord, this is what we beseech thee for in this afternoon hour, to no glory of man, but to the glory of the Son of Man. To him who sits on the right hand of power and who does send forth his spirit to gather a church unto himself. O Lord, we cannot miss it. And we are traveling together in such a pathway by nature that is leading to an eternal condemnation, an eternal bottomless fiery pit, and wherein there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but we have no heart to believe it. O Lord, convert us for the first time or by renewal, and draw our souls after thee. Look upon thy children. All thou knowest, Lord, that they bring forth in themselves, from themselves, no fruit. And thou knowest what a burden that can be. Ah, there are those also in our midst who in a natural way bring forth no fruit, O Lord. O, we beseech thee that thou wouldst remember them. Ah, Lord, we may ask it of thee, may we not? Ah, was there not a great woman who may be a blessed host for thy servant? And she was so quietly bearing her burden. And then there was one that may say for her, unto thy servant she has no child. And now, Lord, he did beseech thee, and thou gavest a child. Ah, was it not a woman who went up into thy house of prayer, who was so quiet there, whose lips moved, and whose heart cried, and nothing came forth from the outside? But it was all bubbling forth from the inside. O Lord, we beseech thee for them who carry such a burden. Lord, look also on thy children, for thou knowest that it is a burden also unto them. But thou sayest, from me is thy fruit found, ah, that it may be experienced in a little way. Also in this afternoon hour, I'll give that there may be some who are born in Zion. In this thy holy day, remember all the afflicted and all the needy amongst us, the burdens and the cares of the sick, those that recover. Remember all the children, the youth, soon, and they hope to begin school again. Ah, need for instruction. Lord, teach them the need for the instruction of thy Spirit, that they might say it also in this hour. Ah, Lord, teach me, teach me. So many times we read it in thy word, coming from the heart of thy people. Look upon us then in this afternoon hour. Lord, teach us. Help us also to teach others. And be thou as that great teacher in our midst. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure till thy house he should prepare. 1, 2, and 4 of 367. Beloved congregation, David wrote, "Thou hast ascended on high, and thou hast led captivity captive, and thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." And we have heard that the Lord, having received these gifts from his Father, distributes them through his Holy Spirit. Now our fathers turn to speak about to whom that the Spirit of the Lord is distributing these gifts, as well as what those gifts are that Spirit of the Lord is distributing. Our fathers now bring the matter from heaven to the earth. That is, they bring this matter very, very close to us. We are always pleased, boys and girls, to receive a gift, right? On your birthday, you get a gift. You look forward to that gift. These are not those kinds of gifts. This is a spiritual gift. Thus, are any of you filled with a desire sometimes to receive such a gift as the Holy Spirit does distribute? The Apostle Paul speaks about becoming a partaker of these gifts. And then he recommends to the church of God that they run, just like that they had to run in order to receive a prize, and as if there was only one person the whole world that was going to receive that prize. He says you must run, that is, faster than everyone else in the whole world. So run, he says, that ye may obtain. But there will be given this gift to more than one. The Bible says it will be given to a multitude of people. That is, that we will not be able to number. But whether it is given to us personally, that is a matter for each one of us to consider within our own hearts. And we therefore wish to consider together Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21 in this afternoon, which speaks about faith concerning the church and her benefits in this life. First, the Holy Catholic Church. Question and answer 54. What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? That the Son of God from the beginning to the end of the world gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word out of the whole human race a church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Thus, the Holy Catholic Church. Second and third are the benefits in this life. So second, the communion of saints. Question and answer 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that all and every one who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members, that is, the communion of saints. And finally, The other gift it speaks of, the other benefit in this life, that is the forgiveness of sins. Question and answer 56. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? That God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. Faith concerning the church and her benefits in this life, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins. What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church? That is a subject that has been deliberated within the churches of Christ for many, many ages, and still is the subject of many opinions, and also our fathers speak about this and are very clear about what we may believe concerning the church. The word church is often used to refer to a building, but that is not what our fathers are speaking about here. In the New Testament, the church is often a translation of the Greek word ecclesia. That means an assembly that is speaking about the called out ones. Ecclesia, that is those who are called out. So it is speaking about people. And those persons are called out of the crowd, called out of the world, called out of the kingdom of Satan. And they are called out to some kind of an assembly, perhaps of the Greeks, to make some kind of an oration to them. And the apostles have taken over this term to speak about the assembly of the true church of God. They speak about them as an assembly that is called out of the world, called out of the kingdom of Satan, to hear the word, to hear the gospel, and that the Lord may convert them, that the Lord may call out his own children, that he may take forth the precious from the vile, that he may gather to himself a church. That is what our fathers say. The Son of God gathers a church. And this church he gathers out, we read, of the whole human race, from the beginning to the end of the world. That is why we call it the Catholic Church, not because we refer to the Roman Catholic Church, no, but that word means universal. Thus the Old Testament church was largely out of the Jewish nation, according to the will of God. But now in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples that they must go out and they must preach the gospel to every nation. And thus, that church that becomes universal. And so, the Apostle Paul also speaks about it, and that the Lord, he says, will have all men to be saved. That is not each and every single person in this world, no. At least that is not his hidden will. We do not know his hidden will. But we know that the Lord does not in his hidden will desire that every single person would be saved, because then it would happen. No, and yet the Lord is calling out of this world, and he does that universally. The Lord Jesus says, many shall come from the east and from the west, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That Catholicity, that is not only about the place, so from this place and that place, but it is also speaking about the time, that it is through all the ages of the world, that is from the beginning, our fathers say, to the end of the world. Thus it is congregation, one church. Adam, Abraham, Paul, and who? Paul says, we are those upon whom the ends of the world are come. So who now of us also will be gathered into that same church with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the saints, God's people, from the very beginning of time. Our fathers say they are chosen to everlasting life. The Bible says their names are written in a book. What book is that, children? That is not the Bible. No, but we read the Lamb's Book of Life, wherein all the names of God's children are written. We do not know, do we? We do not know, maybe. You say, is my name written in that book? Can a person know? What do you think? He can know. Do you know what he cannot know? He cannot know that his name is not written in the book. That is, we cannot know that we are reprobate, but we can know whether that the Lord has chosen us. Or do we want to know? Do we seek to know this for ourselves? And now it is not only the name that is written in that book, but also the means, the way that the Lord is going to convert his elect. That is also written. How that the Lord is going to do this. The Lord says that he is going to do this through a certain means. That is, he is going to have his word inspired in the hearts of his servants, written through many dangers, published in the world. He is going to send his servants to preach that word, to explain, make application of that word. And that is the way that those persons, those individual persons whose names are written in that book, I'm going to gather them in an assembly. I'm going to call them out of the world and bring them in the assembly. And while they're in that assembly, I am going to work. Congregation, is it not a great wonder that we are here? You ever think that, children? Why you are here? Why your mother and father brought you here? And maybe you live next to boys and girls who are today not brought to church by their mother and father. And then the Lord makes a difference with you and them, and gives to you a privilege that he does not give to them. And now what do we do with those privileges that the Lord is distinguishing us with, that we are so unworthy to receive from him? Does that mean we should presume when we are here in that house of God? No, you say, because the visible church, that is all the church members, that is different than the invisible church, that is God's true people. Paul says they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. They are not all God's children. They are not all the true church of God that is coming up to the house of God. And so we must be careful always that we are not presuming upon our outward church attendance or membership. What is now the difference? What is now lacking? In persons who are coming Sabbath after Sabbath day, Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. He died a wicked man. What is now the difference? What is such a man lacking? Well, you say they are lacking faith. That is right. That is what is now distinguishing within the walls of God's house, that true Israel from Israel, faith. Thus our fathers say, agreeing in true faith. That is now what is common to everyone that is a member of that true Catholic Church of all ages. That is what makes all those persons one. One church. And that is what distinguishes the people from everyone who is not a member of that church. It is not customs. Because they have so many different customs, right? We have our customs. Hopefully they are just good customs, but they are not the same customs as God's church has in other places of the world. We hope they are good too. They are certainly not the same customs as God's church has had in the beginning of the world. Thus it is not customs, no, but it is faith. Paul says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, agreeing in true faith. How now does the Lord gather that church to himself? Our fathers say, by his spirit and word. In our confession of faith, then our fathers say that the true church manifests itself in different places and in different ages. So that is the church in her outward administration. Because children, faith is something you cannot see, right? You say, where is the church? Well, church has also an outward administration, something you can see. It is a gathering, it is an assembly of people that is here, and maybe a little hut somewhere where they are persecuted, but that they are gathered in God's name, that they are part of that church in her outward administration consisting of wheat and tares, good fishes and bad fishes, an outward administration that is never pure here below, as some in the history of the church have thought that the church should consist only of the true people of the Lord. And still, they are called out, you and I, by the Lord in his providence, and then within the church. Then there is also a calling that goes out unto the whole church. What is that? Well, the gospel is calling sinners. And it is calling sinners to something. The gospel calls sinners to come unto Christ. Did you ever hear that? I mean, did you ever hear it in your heart? In your heart. By nature, we do not hear this calling in our heart. And why don't we hear it? Well, because we do not place ourselves by nature amongst sinners. And therefore, this outward calling that calls sinners to come unto Christ, that does not enter into our heart. It has no place in our heart. Because the Lord says, I am not come to call the righteous. But where do we place ourselves by nature? Are we not righteous? And so we have no ears, the Lord Jesus says. We have no ears to hear this. There is no man, there is no woman, there is no child that can change the perception of himself. Do you know what we are? We are justifiers of ourselves. Or do I tell it wrong? And we are minimizers, not of other people's sins, but of our own. We do not see it the way God sees it. Who of us believes in this afternoon? That a thought, a single thought, a single wrong desire, motive, a leaning of our disposition is sufficient in the sight of God to cast us forever and forever away from him. Who believes it? Who believes it? We are minimizers of our own sin. Who here believes that he is a whited sepulcher, full of dead men's bones? Who believes it? Say, it's not that bad. What are we? This is congregation truth. That is the truth how it is stated in the Word of God. But we do not receive that truth within our hearts. And as long as we continue in such a way, that calling of sinners, the calling of sinners to come unto Christ will have never a place in our heart. Cannot. We do not perceive ourselves to be addressed by the call as it goes forth out of God's holy word. You know what we do with that calling? We do like that man who has bought a piece of ground, or that man who has bought a yoke of oxen, or that man who has married a wife. We say, I'm too busy. I'm busy in this world, all the things in this world, and therefore I cannot come. Now, congregation, we ask you this afternoon, is the Lord to be blamed for such a refusal to all the invitations that he is putting out to sinners? When we say, I cannot come because I am busy with this and I am busy with that, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant, and the Lord from his place can send his servants, and in great patience and great long-suffering wait, as it were, for us. And then we to say unto the Lord, but why hast thou made me thus? Congregation, the Lord will not have it. That is for certain. Or the Lord will say to us, but who art thou, O man, to reply against God? O congregation, chastise. Chastise your own heart. Do you know what we read, children, young people? We read of a man who smote upon his breast in the house of God. You must chastise yourself for your own sin, for your own iniquity, for your own evil and carnal disposition, for your own rejection of all the callings that have come unto you. Oh, what will it be? To go with a baptized forehead to hell. What will that be? Do you know what the devils will say to us? What opportunity that you had, that you have thrown to the wind, an opportunity that we never were given. Oh, congregation, life is so short, so short. An eternity that is long, very long, that is forever. And the Lord is not going to accept the blame that we are placing on him in our minds, not in this day, and in our hearts. If your views are different. Do you know why your views are different? Your views are different because you had better ground in you than other people. You say, no. No, it is because there came a moment that the Spirit of the Lord came and he made good ground out of that bad ground. That is why. You say, I don't know when that happened, but I do know some things. I know I could not keep going. I knew that I was in the wrong way, that I was in the broad way. I knew that I was a transgressor against heaven and before him. Oh, I knew that if I would go the way that I continue in that way I was going, then it was going to be for me an eternal loss. You were struck. You were struck in your own heart, and you began to search, and your heart that was made tender. And then there was a love that was born in your heart for the things of the Lord. You say, yeah, what a different life. That is only by that inward calling. That is only by the blessing upon all the outward call and the poor words that do come forth, that foolishness of preaching. But if it has the power of God for one moment, his Spirit, to enter into our heart. Do you know what Luke says? He says, as many were ordained unto eternal life, believed. Then you begin to believe. That is the fruit. That is the fruit. And that is the evidence. It is. That is part of the evidence that your name is written in that book. It's not enough. Because there is also different kinds of faith. We know that too. But it is indeed part of that evidence. Like Lydia, she attended to the things. You say, how different that it became in that house of God. You know, the Arminians, they say we don't need an inward calling. They don't make any distinction. They only speak about the outward call. And so if I would just speak to you about that outward call and never speak to you about the inward call, then what difference would it be from having an Arminian minister? No. The Arminians say we all have that ability to just respond to that outward calling as if we already had a heart that was good ground. As if we didn't need some kind of a supernatural change. As if we were different than dead, born, conceived in sin. How many members are there of the outward church in the world who do presume and who have never been placed among the poor, unto whom Christ says the gospel is preached. That church that is Catholic, it's not only Catholic, we read, that is holy. You say, now I'm out. Now I'm out. Is that what you say? Yeah. What did Rebecca say? Rebecca. She felt a struggle in her womb. And she did not know what that meant. She said, if it be so, why am I thus? You say that too. If this now be the Lord's work, child was promised by the Lord. If it now be the Lord's work, why this struggle? Where did she go with that? She went to inquire of the Lord. You go there too? When you say, why is it then thus in my heart? Why is it thus in my life? Holiness. As a holy church, what does that mean? That means that church is separated. And they are separated in this life to a holy warfare. There's something they have in common. You say faith, yes. Also have the same enemy. And that is sin. And thus we have a distinction here also between the church militant and the church triumphant. They are really one. And still there is a distinction because one of them is still in that warfare. They're called to that warfare. But that other part of that church that is now finished with that warfare. Thus there is a certain distinction between them. And yet, from the side of the Lord, this people who have a small beginning of that obedience, just a very small beginning in sanctification, that is to be made conformable unto that law of God. But now in the sight of God, you know where we read of that people? In the sight of God, he says, thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. That's a wonder to that people. How can that be? You know how that can be? They have a robe. They have a robe. The Lord gives them that robe. Read in God's word that is white. Pure white. That is a robe of righteousness. That is not white only in the sight of the people, but as white in the sight of God. That is the reason they are called saints in the Bible. We don't use that word so much anymore, because it is abused so much in the Roman Catholic Church. But it is still a biblical word. And then who is called saints? That is not only that church triumphant, no. But is that church militant? Say the church militant? How can that be? That they are actually called saints in the Word of God. You know how that can be? Because their sanctification is guaranteed. Their sanctification, that complete sanctification, and the taking away of all the sin within and without, that is all guaranteed in Him who is so pure and who is so holy and is waiting until He can take His church unto Himself and purify them completely to His delight and to their delight. Let us sing first. 406, stanzas 3 and 4. The Lord takes pleasure in His saints. He is His people's strength, and He will glorify the meek with victory at length. With victory at length. 3 and 4 of 406. faith concerning the church and her benefits in this life. In the second place, the communion of saints. Question and answer 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. Communion, what is that? That is congregation, an expression of a relation of people that have something in common. So mothers and bakers or bankers or farmers or students, and these persons all have something in common, and that commonality enables them to commune together. You ever try to have a conversation with someone that you had, you say, well, I had nothing in common with that person. We say that it was very, very difficult sitting there maybe at that table and we have to speak all night, but I have nothing in common. Then you are struggling to find something. And if you can find something in common, then you say we have some substance that we can share our hearts with one another. That is, to commune with one another. Here we speak about the church of God, specifically the saints, that is God's true people, and they have something in common. You say, what is that? That is faith. That is right. They have a common gift. So our fathers say, all and everyone who believes. Christian, impliable, could not talk very long. Just a little while. And Pliable left. Why did he leave? Well, because he had nothing in common. Pliable did not understand despondency. You ever meet such persons? They speak about many things, about Christian things, about God, about heaven, about faith, but they don't know anything about despondency. Do you ever say, well, they go to maybe the same church as I do, but I feel like I have nothing in common with that person and I have no communion with such a person, hopeful and faithful. We're very good friends with Christian. They could commune with him because they had, no, not everything the same. Not everything the same. They're all different. But they have certain things in common. What does that church have in common? They have in common the same view of themselves. A sinner. A sinner. That is all. That is all that remains. You know what they also receive in common? They will receive the same view of Christ. They will say all together, he is altogether lovely. There you have the church. Thus the church today is given to commune also with the church of all ages who have spilled their heart by the inspiration of the Lord in the Word of God. David, you ever have some communion? When you may read in the Word of God, you say, that is exactly what I feel in my heart. Maybe Philpot, when you read it in the evening or in the morning when you get up. Paul says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Joined unto the Lord. They have one spirit, like the spirit of the travelers to Emmaus. It was joined together. They spoke about our heart. They were joined. That all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, that is saving faith then, isn't it? Because it is only saving faith that unites a heart unto Christ. These are in common partakers of Him and all His benefits. In common. They all have an equal portion of that grace in Christ. To some He says, O ye of little faith. Like to whom? Like to His disciples. And then to some He says, great is thy faith. Like to the Canaanitish woman. Or to the centurion. And the disciples, yet they will have the same. Though their faith, the servants of God cannot understand it, right? They're so small. And they have to do the preaching. And the Lord says, I will include you the same as I include the others. Whose faith that is so much greater than yours. Then they receive the right to the benefits we read. The benefits that are all coming out of the person of Christ. That are based now on the relation that they have unto Him. Like a wife. She marries a husband and then she possesses everything. Because of the relation, Christ says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And so those branches are also related to one another. How? Only through that vine. There you have the commonality. Every one of that true church. Their singing congregation, the same thing. What are they singing about? They are singing about grace, that is now the communion of the saints. The thief on the cross, he's singing today. You know who he's singing with? Adam. Adam. They're both singing the same song. They're singing with David. They're singing with Manasseh. And they're singing with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. In a blessed communion. They're all feeling exactly the same thing. You ever feel it too? What they do feel? Because that song has not begun there. But that song that is begun here below. That spirit. It is now the spirit of the Lord. In common. Partakers of Him. And all His riches and gifts. Secondly. That everyone must know it to be his duty. Readily and cheerfully to employ His gifts. For the advantage and salvation of other members. You say, how can we do that? We're not all ministers. No, we shouldn't try to be either. The grace that is given to that whole church, that is one. But now there are other gifts that are given to one more than to another, we read in the Word of God. So one has the gift of discernment. Another has the gift of prayer by the same Spirit. Another man has a gift of edification of other people by the same Spirit. Thus, these are gifts that do vary in their degrees to different persons, and they are gifts by which the church may serve one another. It is not advantageous to other members of the church when we will try to build a person up on a foundation which is false or on a foundation that is insufficient, that is not advantageous. No, congregation, that can be very, very damaging. And it can set even the true church back, we would say, humanly speaking, many years in the lessons which the Lord only is able to instruct His own church in. Do you know what is advantageous? It is advantageous to encourage the poor and the needy. It is advantageous to hold up those that are weak. It is advantageous to warn those who deceive themselves. Although it is very difficult, it is advantageous. And those who are hypocrites. The church is known by three things. That is the true doctrine. That is the right use of the sacraments. And it is Christian discipline. That is obedience. And that we hold one another to obedience. That does not begin here at the consistory. No, that is the work of the church. And if the church is not obedient, that is to the law of God, and also to the administration, that ministry that the Lord is giving in His church. So how can that be the true church? Or it is a church that is very, very far backslidden from the Lord. The church is called holy. Why? Because it is consecrated. It is consecrated to a divine, a holy use. And that is for the Lord. That is not for this world. But our time is quickly going away. Finally, question and answer 56. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. So here we have the other one, the other of these two great benefits that the Lord is granting unto His church. So we heard a little bit about sanctification. That is actually the beginning of the deliverance of His people from sin. Do we desire that? To be delivered from sin itself, boys and girls, that I would not sin anymore. You say that in your heart when you get up in the morning, oh Lord, Thou keep me this day. Oh, wilt Thou make me holy, that I may live in my heart and in my life all according to that holy word of God. The church has here just a little beginning of that, a small beginning of this obedience, and that will be complete after this life, but that's for next week, what is coming after this life. But now the other one mentioned here is justification. What is that? That is to be right with the law of God. So the law is not against me, but the law is for me. And that is different, isn't it? You can be standing on either side. There's a great difference in a court. whether I'm standing on the side of right or I'm standing on the side of wrong, whether the law is going to defend me or the law is going to condemn me. Ah, that is the difference between life and death. And that is eternal life and eternal death. Oh, how often do we consider this matter? How often do we lay on our bed at night and say, am I right now with the law? Can I die? Can I die? And can I appear before God that God, for Christ's sake, Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins? He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will no more remember thy sins. That is for his own sake. Who forgives sins? That is the person who is offended. You and I do it. But you cannot forgive someone who has sinned against me. You say, that is what I have to do. Do you do that? When you are asked? Not before you are asked. No, don't do that before you are asked. Why not? Well, because a man needs to be brought in the right place. We don't help a man when we say just, I forgive you. No congregation, pity and love will wait. Because we all need the same thing, you and I. And we need to be brought in that place where we say, oh man, oh brother, oh sister, will you forgive me? And then it is time. You have forgiven him maybe in your heart for a long time already. And now he comes. After you have maybe been asking for a long time already. Oh Lord, let him come. Let him come. And then the Lord brings him. And then you may say what is now living in your heart. You do that? That is now what the Lord has to do. Ursinus says that we have sinned against the Father. We have sinned against the Son. We have sinned against the Holy Spirit. And he says, it is now the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, each of them as a person, who forgives the sins of his people. Thus, we cannot do that. A priest cannot do that. We do not say you must come to the minister to confess your sins. No. That is what we have against the Roman Catholic Church. A minister may pronounce from the pulpit that all who do come in truth unto him to confess their sin, that God is merciful and gracious and just to forgive your sins. That is a declaration on behalf of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. But it is he against whom we have sinned that must actually forgive our sins. That is not just an overlooking of them that God does, that he just looks through his fingers, that he does not see all of our sins, he does not pay attention to them. That's what we do. That's what we have to do also for one another. What does the Bible say? Love covereth all sins. And when you love your children, you want to just cover their sin, right? You don't want anyone else to know about it. And that is dealt with between us. Love that covereth all sins. It does not seek its own right. You know what Solomon says? He says, don't listen to every word that is spoken by your neighbor. Don't hear every word. Lest thou hear thy servant curse thee, because you know in your heart that you have at one time also cursed someone else. This is, congregation, what we are called to do. But this is not what God can do. And what he does not do. And why he cannot he do it. Because of the perfection of his attributes. That is, of his justice. That means every single sin, thought, word, deed, motive, desire, action, everything must be punished. There is not one jot, there is not one tittle, there is not one little dot above an I, we would say, boys and girls, or a cross of a T, little thing that God can overlook. And thus, when we read our Father say that God will no more remember our sins, then there must be a basis for this. He cannot just overlook it and not remember it. But our Father speak about that basis for the sake of Christ's satisfaction and will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ. That is the only way. But we hope to hear more about that when we come to Lord's Day 23. Congregation, this is now the true church. And these are the blessings that belong unto the true church. It is through this relation. These are the blessings that are given to them in this life. Next Sabbath, if all is well, we hope to see the blessings that are given to them after this life. Thus, there's more. There's more than these very great blessings. There is no salvation outside of this church. Over the length and the breadth of the whole world. That is, that true church. There is one God. There is one church, and there is no Savior outside of this church. Are we a member? Are we now a member of this church? So how do I know? What is it made up of? Sinners. Poor. Lame. Blind, helpless, guilty, unworthy sinners. Are you a member of this church? That they are sinners who need such a Savior as is preached, as is declared within that church. Our Father say, and I believe that I am and shall ever remain a living member. That can be known. That can be known. Is that not a precious knowledge? That you are a partaker of these blessings. Do you ever feel it? That the world is not able to provide for you these blessings. Nothing that you have in this world is able to give you these blessings. We live like an animal. They just eat and drink. Just look at them. All day long. They eat and they drink. Tomorrow they die. No soul. No soul. Are you different? Do you know that you are different? Who is that church? What is common? It is militant church here below. Militant. That military, that warfare that has just begun. It's a small beginning. It's not yet finished. Not yet finished. All the time that they live here in the world. Seems like every day they lose the battle. They lose the battle. The congregation, they have won the war. They have won the war. How is it possible? Ah. It is only that union. And that warfare, that victory in that warfare, that is so sure to that people. No matter how many times they must lose that battle. Ah, then all the blessings that is the beginning of that sanctification and the justification and what we hope to hear of next week concerning the glorification of that church, that is all now one, and that is all encompassed in the benefits that the Lord is bestowing upon his people, the church of God, called out. O congregation, do you know what he says? Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Be separate, that you also may receive this deliverance of this Savior and all the benefits that he has to bestow. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but mutter, but we cannot give the application. Ah, wilt thou look upon us and come and grant us true conversion. Show us ourselves, O Lord, and give us to know and to mourn over our wretchedness, our misery, our guilt, that we may cry out in a day of grace for that salvation that is proffered unto us day after day. Look upon us in the rest of thy holy day, that we may keep it holy, that thou may look on us also in this week. Remember all those that travel over roads and through the air. Be with us when we hope to be at the opening of the theological school. Remember the instructors, the students, and all that are involved in the season that lies before us. And do remember us when we gather also in the way of a prayer service for the beginning of our own Christian schools. Lord, look upon those in Calgary and also here, and wilt thou care for us and our seed as we travel to meet thee and to stand before thee in judgment with them. We ask it all in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. 297. 1, 2, and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy still endure. Thus let his ransom testify from all their foes secure. 1, 2, and 3 of 297. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.